Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Ayin Beis. We begin in the middle of the Daf by the new Mishnah. Now, there are going to be a lot of different ways to learn this Mishnah, so we're just going to learn the words right now, and then when we get to the Gemara, we'll see the many different ways to learn the Mishnah. So we start off by saying, Chamisha Chaburos Sheshavsu B'Traklin Echad. You have five groups of people that are living inside a traklin. A traklin is a palace, and Rashi explains, V'chilkua l'chamisha. They divided up this palace, this large room, into five different areas. We'll see exactly how they divided it up. That will be a whole discussion. Did they make a small little separation between the areas? Did they make a larger separation? Or did they make a separation going up all the way to the roof? The Kulan, Rashi continues, Yesh lehem pesach min ha-traklin l'chotzer. And each of them has their own separate exit from where they're staying in the traklin out into the common courtyard. And there are other people that also use that common courtyard. So this is the equivalent, Rashi says, of having a courtyard that has multiple houses, five inside this traklin, as well as additional houses opening up into the courtyard, which is a commonly used courtyard, which would require an Eruv Chatzeris under normal circumstances. And therefore, Vitzarech La'arev im Shar Bnei Chatzer. So in this situation, they would have to go and participate in the Eruv Chatzeris. So that's the scenario that we're setting up here according to Rashi. Chamisha Chaburah Sheshavsu B'Traklin Echad. You have these five groups of people. They're all in this traklin that opens up into this chotzer. Each of them has their own separate access into the chotzer. Tosus talks about if they didn't, then it would be a totally different halacha. There would be the inner ones than the outer ones. If they had to go through the outer ones area to get to the chotzer, so there would be a different discussion. So here, they all have their own separate access, and there are other people that have access to the chotzer. What is the halacha? So Beishamei Omrim, Beishamei says, Erov l'kol chabura v'chabura. Each of these five groups has to participate on their own into the Erev Chatzeros to allow carrying from the various houses within the traklin as well as outside into the chotzer, because each of these five groups is a separate entity. Ubeisil disagrees. Ubeisil Omrim, Erev echad l'kulam. These five families, these five different groups that are in the traklin, they can all be considered as one group in regards to the Erev Chatzeros with all the other people that are participating in this courtyard's Erev Chatzeros. That is going to be a whole discussion as to what exactly is the division between the five different groups in the traklin when we get to the Gemara. We'll have four different versions of that. Then the Mishnah concludes and says, "Umodim." Everybody agrees. Beisela b'shamay bisman shemiktsosu shurim b'chadorim o ba'alios. If they have actually separate rooms or an attic area, a second floor within this traklin, that's the simple way we're going to understand this right now. The Gemara will explain that's not the way to understand this, but right now we'll understand it in the simple way. If you have a separate area that is definitely distinct, either as a separate room or as a separate story within this traklin, everybody would agree in that situation. Each one of the groups then would be considered a separate entity, even though they're within this traklin, and they would all have to participate in the Erev Chatzeros on their own as a separate participant, or else they'll ruin it for the Erev Chatzeros. Now that was quite a bit, and now we're going to have four different versions of how to understand the separations between the five different groups inside this traklin. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, Amr Rav Nachman, now we'll have two versions of Rav Nachman, this will be version one of Rav Nachman. Amr Rav Nachman, Machlokes, the difference over here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Again, Beis Shammai says that each of the five groups is considered a separate entity, and Beis Hillel says that all of the five groups are considered as one entity in regards to participating in an Erev Chatzeros. So Rav Nachman says this Machlokes has only been something called Bimisipas, when the separations between them is through this Misipas. Now on the side, it brings down from the Pirush Gaon that this is some sort of a wall that is hollow, sheyeshbo chalonos, that has windows in it. But we're not going to go with that explanation. We're going to follow the explanation of Rashi. And Rashi says this mesipas is mechitza nemucha. It's a low mechitza, under 10 tfachim tall, which is made up of chatichos etzim. So it's basically some sort of a demarcation line between the five different groups, but it doesn't reach up to 10 tefachim tall. So it doesn't have the status halachically of being a valid mechitza in regards to the laws of mechitza. So Rav Nachman says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing if there is a mesipas there, that in that situation, Beis Hillel says it's not a valid mechitza, and therefore they're all considered as one entity, and therefore they only have to contribute one for all five of them for the Erev Chatzeros. And Beis Shammai says, no, that little demarcation demarcates that each of them is a separate entity. Even though it's not a valid mechitza, it's not 10 tefachim, and certainly it doesn't go up all the way to the ceiling, that's still considered a valid demarcation to make them into five separate houses, five separate entities with inside this traklin, and therefore each of them must contribute to the Erev Chatzeros. However, according to this version one of Rav Nachman, avon b'mechitza asara, if there was a true 10 tefach tall mechitza separating the individual five chaburas here, even though they can see each other, again, a 10 tefachim tall is about a meter. It's not that high. So it's going up to their waist, and they can see each other. They could even probably step over it. Nevertheless, it's considered separating the five chaburas, even according to Beis Hillel, certainly according to Beis Shammai. He says the Mesipas does it, and certainly a mechitza of 10 tefachim will do it. According to the first version of Rav Nachman, mechitza asara, divrei hakol, even Beis Hillel would be moda, that you would need Erev l'kol chabura v'chabura. Very straightforward, very simple, version number one of Rav Nachman. The machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is only in the lowest type of a mechitza, the mesipas, but if it was a regular mechitza of 10 tefachim, so then even Beis Hillel's moda to Beis Shammai, and certainly if it goes all the way up to the ceiling, Beis Hillel's moda to Beis Shammai, that each entity now is a separate entity. That's version one. Version two of Rav Nachman, Ika Diamre, Rav Nachman, according to this version, he says the machlokis is af b'mesipas machlokis. According to this version, that not only do they argue on a regular mechitza of 10 tefachim, but even on a mechitza, that is the mesipas, they argue as well. So they're arguing in both cases. According to Beis Hillel, only if it goes all the way up to the ceiling does that separate them into five groups. But if you have a mechitza that's only 10 tefachim tall, and certainly if you have a mechitza that's only a mesipas, Beis Hillel says that doesn't separate them. And Beis Shammai says not only does a mechitza going up 10 tefachim separate them, but even the mesipas separates them. So this is version number two. According to both version number one and version number two, Beis Hillel is certainly moda if it goes all the way up to the ceiling. That is considered a valid separation between the five groups. And according to version number one, Beis Hillel's moda, even if it's a regular mechitza of 10 tefachim, according to version number two, in a regular chitz of 10 tefachim, Beis Hillel still argues that they're considered one entity. It's only if it goes up to the ceiling. Now we have versions 3 and 4. We don't know who says which one. Pligi bar Rav Chiya, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. So we don't know which one says which. One of them, we'll call this version number 3 now, of our four total versions. Chad Omar, one of them says, Machlokes, the Machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is b'mechitzos hamagios letikra. The only time Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have a machlokes is if it goes all the way up to the ceiling. Even if it goes all the way up to the ceiling, according to this version, Beis Hillel says they're not considered separate entities. They're living inside a traklin. And if you're living inside a traklin altogether, you're considered as one unit, not as five separate units, even if the mechitza goes all the way up to the ceiling. Hamagios letikra, they're still considered one entity. And Beis Shammai says no. But anything less than going up to the ceiling, avo mechitza she'ein magios letikra, then diri hakol erech lekulin. Then even Beis Shammai is moded to Beis Hillel that unless it goes all the way up to the ceiling, if it's just a mechitza of 10 tefachim, and certainly if it's just a mesipas, Beis Shammai is moded to Beis Hillel that doesn't separate them into five separate entities. So version number three says the machlokes is in a situation where it goes all the way up to the ceiling. But anything less than that, there is no machlokis, they're all mekel, even Beis Shammai is mekel, to say that they are counted as one group, not as five groups. And version number four is the other man d'yama. We don't know whether it was Rav Chiya or Rav Shimon, but Rebbe said the first one. The other one now says, the chadamar, machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is only b'mechitza she'ein magias atikra. It's only talking about a mechitza that is 10 tefachim tall. That is where they have their machlokis. Beis Hillel says it's not a separation, and Beis Shammai says it is a separation. But avo mechitzo samachias letikra, but if it goes all the way up to the ceiling, divrei hakol tzrichin erev lekol chabura v'chabura. Everybody in that situation would say that it is a valid chabura. Even Beis Hillel would be mod if it goes all the way up to the ceiling, then it's a valid chabura. Now we turn to the Amud Beis to discuss these shitas. So we turn to the Amud Beis. The Amud Beis says, Mesa, we're going to bring a brisa that goes against what we just said in some, and it supports some of them, and let's see what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, now the Girsa that we have in our Gemara is Hasabor. What is Hasabor? So Rashi says he was very, very sharp. Rabbi Yehuda was the sharp one. Hasabor means Al Shem Churfe Korele Hachi. So Rabbi Yehuda, the sharp one. That's the way Rashi understands Rabbi Yehuda Hasabor. Tosus, on the other hand, in the top Tosus, Yehuda Sabar, brings down from the Rebbeinu Hananel that the Girsa isn't Hasabar, but is Hasavoch. And what does that mean? Pirush, Godil Lisvocha, Kein Mitznefes, Vekova. It's some sort of a headwear. Either he makes these types of headwear, or that he wore such a type of a headwear. That is what Rav Yehuda Hasavoch means. The Bach says Inami. In Tosos over here, he says that when Tosos says Inami, it means that we're dealing here with a different Girsa. Inami, the Girsa is Hasachoch. And this is a name of a city that you have in Yehoshua, in Perek Tezvov. And that's why it was known, Rabbi Yehuda, who came from the city of Sachoch. In any event, this Rabbi Yehuda, whether he's Hasabar, Hasavoch, or Hasachoch, for the various reasons that we just mentioned, stated the following in the Brisa. That the machlokas of the Beis Hillel B'Shammai is lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al mechitzas ha-magiyas l'tikra. They don't argue if the mechitza goes all the way up to the tikra. If the mechitza goes all the way up to the ceiling, then Beis Hillel is more that they're separate entities, and that you need shetrichim erev l'chol chabura v'chabura, which is exactly what the fourth and final version that we just said taught us. Al men nechliku, where is the machlokis? Al mechitzos she'ein magiyos l'tikra. On those mechitzos that don't go all the way up to the top of the wall, we'll have to explain in a moment, does this mean anything less than that, or that Beis Shammai would be moda in the Mesipas. So we'll have to explain this in a moment. But according to Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar, so he's telling us that the Machlokes is in a situation where it doesn't reach up to the ceiling. That separates them. If they have a Mechitza of 10 Tvachim, that separates them to separate entities, and they each have to contribute towards the Erev Chatzeros. Or Beis Shammai, no. Unless it goes up to the ceiling, Erev Echad Lukulan, that one Erev would be able to work for all of them. They're considered all lumped together as one entity and not five separate entities. So this is the Braisa that Rav Yehuda HaSabar taught us. Laman Diomar B'Mechitzos. Now, according to the versions that we had, the four versions that we had, we're going to see if they reconcile or they're proven wrong by this Braisa. Laman Diomar B'Mechitzos HaMagios L'Tikra. Machlokes, according to the version that says that, version number three, that even if they went all the way up to the roof, there still is, according to Beis Hillel, one entity. So then, certainly, this is Tiyufta. This Braisa, the Rav Yehuda HaSabar teaches us, goes against that opinion. Ulaman diomar b'mechitzos she'ein magiyas l'tikra, machlokes, and according to version number four, who says that the only time that there's a machlokes is if it's 10 tvachim, it doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling, but if it goes up all the way to the ceiling, there is no machlokes. Even Beis Hillel agrees that they're separate entities. So then, siyata. So this brisa is exactly version number four. Now, lahach lishna d'yom Rav Nachman, according to the version number one of Rav Nachman, it says the machlokes b'mesipas, the machlokes is only by mesipas, but if it goes up 10 tvachim, the Beis Hillel agrees, so then, tiyufta. So this Braisa argues against that, because this Braisa says, no, there's a machlokes if it's 10 tvachim. So that first version of Rav Nachman is proven wrong by the Braisa. And lahach lishna, the Omer Rav Nachman, according to version number two of Rav Nachman and version number two altogether, so according to the version that says, the Omer Rav Nachman, af b'mesipas machlokes, the machlokes is both in the case of the mesipas, as well as in the case of 10 tvachim, so does this Braisa go against it? Let us say that this Braisa goes against it, because this Braisa says only if it's a mechitza of 10 tvachim, implying that if it's less than 10 tvachim, if it's just a mesipas, there is no machlokes. But according to version number 2 of Rav Nachman, it says that there's a machlokes in both situations. So let us say this is a tiyufta. So Amalach Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman himself would say no. Pligi b'mechitza, v'hu adin b'mesipas. This Braisa is in accord with my second version, because this Braisa doesn't mean to implicate that in the Sipas they don't argue, and it's only in a 10 tefach mechitza that they argue. No, they argue in both. They argue in whether anything less than going up all the way to the ceiling, if it's a mechitza of 10 tefachim or a mesipas, Beis Hillel says that that's not enough to divide them up, and Beis Shammai says it is enough to divide them up. The Gemara says, V'hai d'kol miflug b'mechitza. Why does it only give us a case in this brisa when it says alma nechliku al mechitzos shei magiyos l'tikra? It doesn't mention anything about the mesipas. That's lodicha kochon de beis hillel. It wants to show us the strength of beit hillel. That certainly in the mesipas they say that it's all one entity, but even in the case of mechitza of 10 tvachim, they still say it's one entity. So that's why the brisa only mentions that case. But of course, they would argue in the case of the mesipas as well. Shmuel says, okay, instead of showing me the strength of Beis Hillel's argument, the Liflok b'Mesipas, just tell me the case of the Mesipas, Lodiach HaKochon Beis Shammai, to show me, wow, the Beis Shammai says, even if you only have this little low separation, demarcation, there's little pieces of wood separating the five different Chaburas, they're still considered separate entities. Wow, show me that, and that would be the Lodiach HaKochon Beis Shammai, that even in that situation, they say that they're considered five separate entities. So Shmuel says, Koach Dehetera Odiv, we prefer to give us the position that strengthens the lenient position, to show the strength of the lenient position, rather than showing us a position that shows the strength of the more stringent position, because we always give more credence, if you wish, to the more lenient opinion. Anybody can be machmir. It's also. That's easy to say. It takes a real a great talmid chacham to say something is mutter. So therefore, koach de teirah odif, if we wish to show the strength of the opinion that's lenient, rather than to show the strength of the opinion that is more strict. Tosa says, well, sometimes we show both. So why don't you give us both cases and say, this case was showing us the strength of the lenient opinion of Beis Hillel, but also give us the other case to show us the strength of the stricter opinion of Beis Shammai. So Tosus points out that when you're dealing over here with a machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, you don't need to show the strength of Beis Shammai because it's not really a full machlokes, because we paskin like Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai, Mokom Beis Hillel, Eino Machlokes. So therefore, we don't need to show us. Sometimes we do, but we don't need to show us here the strength of both sides. How do we paskin? So I'm Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman here, who had version number one and version number two, and we just disproved version number one. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Halacha K'Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman said the name of Rav, the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda HaSabor. We follow this brisa, and Tosfos points out, like the second version of Rav Nachman, that this brisa is in accord with that, that the machlokis is between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in both the Mesipas and in the Mechitza of Ten Tvachim, but the Kuli Amalo Pligi, everybody agrees, if the Mechitza goes all the way up to the ceiling, up to the Tikra, then even Beis Hillel's mother, that they're considered five separate entities. Now the Gemara has Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnitzan Nami Daika. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that's different than Rav Nachman. He says that you can see that this is true from our Mishnah. How do you see that? Diktani, because our Mishnah said at the end of the Mishnah, it said, "Umodim, we are all going to admit that even Beis Hillel Bisman Shemitzosin Shurim Bichadorim Ubialiyas. If some of them are living in separate rooms in this traklin or in a second story in this traklin, Shetzrichin Erev L'Kol Chabur Chabur, they're definitely considered all separate in that situation." Now, what did we mean? I told you the words literally now mean separate room or in a second story, but we'll see that's not what it means. So, my chadorim and my aliyos. Does it mean literally, ilemo chadorim, chadorim mamish, valios, halios mamish? If it really means they're in a separate room or in a second story of this traklin subshita, then why would anybody have to tell me that? Of course, they're separate entities. Elo, the chiddush is, elalav, ke'ein chadorim, ke'ein aliyos. It's like it was a second story or like it was a separate room. And what would be an example of that? Omai nihu mechitzos hamagios litikra. It's the equivalent of if the partitions go all the way up to the ceiling. Ah, that's exactly what we said. Shema mina. That is in fact the raya. The end part of the Mishnah is a raya to the second version of Rav Nachman, the version that Rav Yehuda HaSabor in the Braisa brought down, and that is what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says is a diuk from our Mishnah, and what Rav Nachman said, the halacha follows this opinion. Tana. Now, another way to learn this is as follows. Tana, we learned, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have the machlokes, Kishimulichin Eseruvim Mokum Acher? If they go, the five chaburas, they bring their participation in the Erev Chatzeres for this chatzer, and they bring it to one of the houses that's not in the Traklin, and they put their bread, they put their matzahs into that house, so then we have this machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Are they considered one entity, or are they considered five separate entities? But if the people using the courtyard from the houses other than the Traklin bring their matzahs inside to the people in the Traklin, so then Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, then they can have one Erev for all of them. In fact, Tosfos points out, they don't need an Erev at all, because that's the person whose house the Erev is put into, he technically doesn't have to participate in it, because the whole idea of the Erev is to say that they're all now living together. They're all like they're in one entity. Well, he lives there, so he doesn't have to contribute. So then the people in the Traklin wouldn't have to contribute at all if the Erev is brought to them. So the Gemara says, "Kaman oz lo hodutanya." Now we have another brisa whose opinion is in accord with this brisa. Chamisha should go with a Reuven. When the five people collected their Erev, so kishemulichin is a Reuven l'makom acher. If they go and bring their Erev to another place, so Erev echad l'kulon. All five of them can be considered like one entity. Now they're bringing it to someplace else, and yet they're all considered like one entity. Who does that go like? Keman Ozla, who is this Bryce in accord with? Keman Kebeis Hillel. This goes like the opinion of Beis Hillel. Alternatively, we have another Bryce. Bika Diamre, another way to learn our Mishnah, Bamedzwar Mamurim, what is our Mishnah talking about? Kishoya Erev Boetzlon. Our Mishnah, the Machlokes between Mishil and Mishame, is only in a situation where everybody brings their participation, their Chaser is inside the Traklin. In that situation, Mishame says, all five people in the Traklin still have to contribute. The Chaburas have to contribute. And Mishil says, in that situation, they don't have to contribute. They all are one entity. That's when Kishoya Erev Boetzlon. Avalim Hayu Molichin Esei Ruvon Lamakum Acher. But if everybody agrees, Divri HaKol, when they go take their Erev someplace else, they're considered Tzrichin Erev L'chol Chabura V'chabura. Everybody must participate in that situation. Now, Keman Ozla, the price that we just brought down, who does that go in accord with? Ha, the Tanya, Chamisha, Shugav, Osiru, and the five people gathering together, and they designate all together their Erev, Kishon Malich, and Osiru, L'mokum Acher, and they bring it to another place, Erev Echel L'kula, that one Erev works for all five of them. Now, according to this second version now, that's neither Beis Hillel, and it's certainly not Beis Shammai. Come on, who does it go like then? The Lokichat. It doesn't go like the opinion of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. It's either a third opinion, or this Brisa is a problem. Now we start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ha'achin shayu ochlin al shulchan aviyam. If you have a bunch of brothers that are eating by their father's house, we'll see in the Gemara that it means that they're not literally eating there. We'll see that they're getting food from their father's house. So they're being supported by their father, but they're not literally eating at Shulchan Aviyam. That the Gemara will explain, but right now we'll just say that the brothers that are eating by their father's house. So the question is, are they considered separate entities? They have their own houses in that neighborhood. The Yishenin Bivoteyam. They sleep in their own houses, but they're sharing the same chotzer. So how do we view them? As a separate entity from the father, and therefore they each have to contribute to the Erev separately? Or do we say, no, that since their father is supporting them, they are considered one entity with their father, and they only have to contribute one time to the Erev based upon their father, and not each one individually? So in this situation, we have Ha'achin Shiyo Ochlin Al Shulchan Avien, V'yishenim B'vatein, but they sleep in their own houses. So the Tanakhama says, Tzrichin Erev L'kolecha V'yechad. Each of them has to go and participate in the Erev, or else they'll ruin it for everybody else. They can't say, well, our father contributed. No, each of them has to contribute to the Erev, and therefore, lefikach, im shachach echad mehem velo Erev, mevatel es reshuso. Therefore, if, in fact, one of them did not contribute to the Erev, they're going to ruin it for everybody else, so then we can apply the rules of bittul that we've had in the previous shiurim, and in this way they won't ruin it for everybody else, they'll ruin it for themselves, but they didn't participate in the Erev, so they'll give up their rights, and therefore everybody else will be able to carry, but they will not be able to carry from their house into the chotzer. Amosai, under what circumstances does this apply? Bizman shemolichin eruvim b'makom acher. That's when the father and all the brothers have to go and bring their eruv into somebody else's house. Again, there are many people that are using this chotzer. There's 10 people using the chotzer, and you have the father and a couple of sons. So the father and the sons, they're putting their piece of matzah into the box of matzahs in somebody else's house. In that situation, then they each has to contribute separately. Then they each have to go and bring their own box of matzahs. Well, if they don't, they're going to ruin it for everybody else. Then they'll have to be mevatel the reshus, not to ruin it. However, similar to what we had earlier in today's shiur, if all the other people are bringing the Erev into their father's house, so everybody's bringing a piece of matzah, the shear of matzah, into the father's house, so then in this situation, or there's nobody else living there. It's just the father and his sons. There are no other people living in that chotzer, no other houses in that chotzer. Then, ein on srich liarv. Then, they do not have to go and participate in the Erev. Then, the father, so to say, encompasses all of his sons in this situation when either nobody else is there, or if the Erev is being brought into his house, and in this situation, they would not each have to go and participate as a separate entity in the Erev chatzeros. Mar starts off and says, Shma Mino, let's learn from our Mishnah that Mokom Lino Gorem, that it's where you sleep that counts, because it says they were eating at their father's table, And therefore, one might have thought that they're one entity with the father, but it says, no, they slept someplace else. It says, Yishen and Bivateyam. So therefore, you see that of the two, where do you eat and where you sleep, that eating determines are you a separate entity or not. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, our Mishnah, as I had mentioned, is talking about Mimakable Pras Shanu. They didn't eat at their father's house. They got the food from their father's house. He is supporting them. He gave them the food, but they're eating in their own house. So in our Mishnah, we have both the place that they're sleeping and the place that they're eating, not with their father. And that's why, in this situation, they're each considered a separate entity. But if, in fact, according to this opinion, that it goes where you eat, if they were actually physically eating at their father's house, so then they wouldn't be a separate entity. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Mishi yesh lo beis shar, achsadra umar peses, b'chotzer chaveiro. What we have here is the following scenario. There are people having houses living around the chotzer. And in addition, some of them also have a gatehouse, a beis shar, and achsadra is some sort of like a porch area. Umar peses is like a second story porch area in this chotzer that other people live in. Now, hareze ein oser olav. This additional beis shar, achsadra, omar peses, doesn't ruin it. Tosa says the person who owns this lives in that courtyard and has already put in for the Erev. So the fact that there's an additional beis shar, achsadra, omar peses, doesn't ruin it. Hareza ain't oser alav, it doesn't ruin it for him or for anybody else. They don't have to go and participate. If there's somebody living in those beis shar, achsadra, omar peses, they don't have to contribute separately for the Erev Chatzeres. As Tosu says, even though there are people living in these areas, as we're going to learn on Daf Pehe, Tosu says, nevertheless, as long as the owner, Kigon Shinosan Bal Habayis Eruvo, he himself contributed for Kamashalon, the Hador Bebei Shar, Loboy L'Ari Delo Asar. As long as the owner of the house that is attached to the Bebei Shar contributed, so then even though there's a separate person living in the Bebei Shar, he doesn't ruin it. Same thing would apply to the Asadra and the Marpeses. But if you have, we delete the words S, they're all in parentheses. If you have a base teven, that's like a storage area for grain, or a base bakar, that's like a barn that you put your animals into, or a base eitzim, that's a storage area where you put wood in. All of these, hareza osrolov, all of these types of structures would in fact go and require a person living there to contribute to the Erev Chatzeres, or else he would ruin it for everybody else. Review the qualifies this. Review the Omer. Ein Oser, it only ruins it. Ela Mokum Dira Bovat. It has to be a house. It has to be a place where people could live. Even if they're not living there right now, but it has to be a place they could live, then they would ruin it. But Ein Oser, Ela Mokum Dira Bovat. If it is not suitable for somebody living there, so then they wouldn't ruin it. Of course, if somebody did live there, even though it's not suitable, then they would ruin it. And furthermore, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'Ben Nafcha, there was a Maisa Shahaya with this person who was known as Ben Nafcha, either that was his name or that was his profession. Others have the Girsa Nasha, that he was the son-in-law. In any event, Shahaya lo chamesh chatzeros b'usha, he was a wealthy person, and he had different houses in five different courtyards. He had houses in five different courtyards, and did he or did he not ruin it for all the other people in the courtyard? So they asked the Chachamim, what should he do? Should he contribute or not to the Erev Chatzeres? And if he didn't contribute, can we carry there? The Amru and the Rabbanim Paskin, Eino Oser Ela Beis Dira Bavad. The only ones that would ruin it are if they're actual places where people can live. If he has a dwelling or residence in any of those places where somebody could live, so then he would have to participate or else he would ruin it for them. Someone says, really? Beis Dira Soka Daitach? Any place there would ruin it if somebody could live there? Someone says, you're right, that's not really correct. Elema Makom Dira. It has to be suitable for somebody to live in. Not the fact that, yeah, somebody could theoretically live over there. But it has to be a normal type of a residence. And a Beis Shar, for example, the Achsadra and the Marpesis that we brought down earlier aren't normally suitable for a person to go and live there. So therefore, that's not included in that definition. Now, what exactly is my Mokum Dira? How do we define some place that is considered a dwelling place, a place where somebody could live? So Rav Amar, Rav tells us, return to the Yom Aleph, that dwelling place is defined as, do you eat there? Mokum Pita. Pita is bread, pas. Shu Ocho Sham, Rashi says. So if you eat in that place, that's called a dwelling place, a Beis Dira, and therefore you are considered an entity for that Erev Chatzeres, and you have to contribute to it or you'll ruin it for them. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, it depends if you sleep there. Amar Mokum Lina. If it's a place that you sleep in, so then that ruins it if you don't contribute to the Erev Chatzeres. But if you just eat there, that's not enough. Meis, the Gemara is going to question Rav based on the following Braisa. Meisvei Haroim, these are shepherds. V'hakayotzin, Rashi explains, these are shomrei tenim, the people that watch the figs. Hashtuchim basada, that are out there in the field to dry out. Liavshan luktzios, that you can make them into dried figs, so it needs somebody to watch them, so the animals and mistam and others don't take them. V'haburginin, these are people that go and set up these tents to watch the little huts to go and watch the field. That's the burgen that we had previously, that increase the boundary of the city. As long as you have burgen is within 70 and two-thirds amma. The Shomri Paris, or little huts that the watchmen of the fruits go and live in all of these situations. So Bisman, the Brisa says, Shadarkin Lolin Ba'ir, if the people sleep in the city, as Rashi says, B'mokum Sha'ochlin, where they eat, Afapi Shekidish Alemayon Basoda, even though they're actually still out in the field before it becomes Shabbos. Nevertheless, since they're eating and sleeping in their house in the city, so they're given their tchum as all the people in the city. They have alpayim l'chol ruach, and they have the whole city for them as dalet amos, Rashi tells us. So that's bizman shadarkin lo lebir, as long as they're going to eat and sleep in the city. However, the Brice says, in that situation only, harehe kan she'ir. But bizman shadarkon lolin basada. But if they're going to go sleep out in the field, as Rashi says, afal pisha ochlin ba'ir, even though they're eating in the city, then they're not considered like people living in the city. They don't have the whole city as dalet amos, and you count 2,000 amos in all directions from the edges of the city. Then ein moded in lem elamin asada. Then wherever they are in the field, where they're actually going to be sleeping, that's their focal point. They get the 2,000 amos from there. So this goes against Rav. You see that Mokum Lina, like Shmuel, and not Mokum Pita, like Rav, Kashan Rav. Shmuel says, Hoso Manan Sadi, the answer that Rav would say is as follows. In that case, the workers that are out there in the field, so they would love to go and eat in the field as well. But there's no restaurants there. There's no kitchen over there. They don't have a refrigerator over there. So they have to go back into the city. And the imi matul rifta hosam tvei nihalu. They would actually much prefer, why have to trek back to the city, eat, and then come back to the place where I'm sleeping. So they would much rather eat where they are. But since they can't in this situation, so they really would like to eat there. So then you don't look at the mokum pita in the city. You look at the mokum pita where they would like to eat, which is where they sleep. So therefore, this is no kasha on Rav. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, when he heard this, lo shmieli hoshmaisa. I never heard of such a thing. I don't think this is this statement that we just brought down in the name of Rav is correct. So Amal Abaye, as we have throughout Shas, his Talmud Abaye told him, Rebbe, in fact, you did teach it to us. At Amris Nialon, you in fact taught it to us. And Nebuch, you got sick and you forgot your learning. So I'll remind you. V'yaha Amris Nialon. And in the following Mishnah, in this regard, did you teach us this din that Rav holds Malkum Pita? And this is our Mishnah. If you have the brothers eating by their father's table, but they're sleeping someplace else, so in that situation, each of them is considered a separate entity. So you see, where they eat doesn't determine it, but where they sleep determines it. That would be Kashan Rab. And therefore we said to you, Vamrina Log, Shmamino, Mokum Lino Goreim, it's a Kashan Rab. You see that it's the place that you sleep and not the place that you eat. And on this, you explain to us, Yamin Slon Alon, like we had early in the year, that here, Amar Byud Amar Rab, the Makable Pras Shano, we're dealing over here with the sons. They weren't actually eating at their father's table. They were just getting the food and then eating it at home. Their father supported them. He paid for their meals. He sent them the meals, but they weren't actually eating at his table. So our mission is the case, again, of Mokum Pita and Mokum Lina being in the same place. But if they weren't in the same place, then Rav says, then you go after Mokum Pita and not after Mokum Lina. With that, we conclude today's share.